Hour number two. Welcome back. Buck Rising here with you till 1 o'clock. Happy to have you along for the ride. Happy to have you as a part of the show today. Titans wide receiver Marcus Johnson will be a part of the show today. He'll join us coming up next about 10 minutes from now, and we'll get into his Titans debut. I also want to talk to him about Texas and Oklahoma, given that he is a product of the University of Texas and that Red River rivalry did not necessarily go in his favor. He didn't want to take questions about it on Sunday after they beat the Jags, after Ryan Tannehill walked off the podium and it was giving him a hard time because A&M had just beat Alabama the day before, and apparently Tannehill won a bet with Derrick Henry. Well, perhaps we'll find out if there are any bets made in the Titans locker room based off that college football weekend that was. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. So, I want to talk a little bit about this Titans wide receiving core because it seems to be on the right trajectory. Again, this has been something that's been a theme all year long, really since July. At what point would we see the full complement of weapons, if at any point would we see the full complement of weapons for the Tennessee Titans? Because we had spent so much time throughout the course of training camp singing the praises of Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers to fans who were not able to attend because the facility remains under construction. I was just there yesterday. Would have thought it would have made just a tiny bit more progress, but still slow going, so I don't know how much longer that's going to take. Regardless, it was something that I almost didn't blame fans for not believing media about what a unicorn Marcus Johnson had been throughout the course of training camp. Because what evidence did you have of it? There was not that same kind of, there just wasn't that evidence in the preseason, right? Because Ryan Tannehill didn't play in the preseason. You had Logan Woodside. They had not developed the chemistry that it was clear Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Johnson had. And so for Titans fans who were just kind of like, oh, where is training camp all-star Marcus Johnson? Why isn't he performing more? Why shouldn't Mason Kinsey make the roster over guys like this? Mason Kinsey is producing, blah, 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 blah. And then Marcus Johnson comes back in his debut. He converts a couple of critical third downs for the Titans, and you see that the quarterback clearly trusts him, which is something that we asked Ryan Tannehill. In fact, I asked Ryan Tannehill about this after the Jags win on Sunday, just what it was like to finally get him back out on the field.
Yeah, it was great to have Marcus back out there, man. I was excited to get him back out there. Like you mentioned, a guy that got a lot of reps with in training camp and feel really confidently throwing the ball to. And he's got a lot of ability, and I think it showed up, you know, his first game back. You know, he didn't really ease into it. He came out and played fast, and I had some huge plays for us, so excited to have him back.
They're excited to have him back on the field, and it's clearly a trust thing for Tannehill. You're trying to make your quarterback more at ease. Your quarterback has not been put at ease by any stretch of the imagination through five games thus far. 20 sacks and should have been 21 if a defensive pass interference hadn't wiped one off the board for the Jags on Sunday. So how can you allow your quarterback to have a greater comfort level? Well, it's clear that the more that he gets these guys back that he spent so much time with during the offseason, it's going to continue to allow that comfort level to grow. Marcus Johnson is somebody who I don't know that there's any element of his game that's going to overwhelm you. He's not Julio Jones. He's not A.J. Brown, and that can still be okay. He can still be a great wide receiver three in this offense. And what he'll talk about with us coming up next is he's dealt with a lot of soft tissue injuries throughout the course of his career. He's been in a couple of different places since coming into the league out of Texas. He's been with the Seahawks, he's been with the Colts, and at each stop, he's had those opportunities derailed. So we'll get into that with Marcus Johnson, Titans wide receiver, coming up next, and we'll talk to him about just what about this offense has allowed him, at least in the early goings, to be able to find that comfort level, to build that trust with the quarterback, and to be an effective target when called upon in those spots. So we'll talk to the Titans wide receiver coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. Buck Rising here with you. Very happy to be joined now on the line by Titans wide receiver Marcus Johnson at MojoMDJ is where you can follow him. He's getting ready to head out onto the practice field for another day of work before the Titans play the Bills. Boss man, how we living?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. So you didn't want to talk about Texas and Oklahoma after?
Nope.
He gets up on the podium, man, after the Titans beat the Jags. It's an exciting divisional win, his debut, and a couple of critical catches to keep some drives alive and help the Titans get that 18-point victory. Ryan Tannehill's at the podium, and he's like, yeah, ask this guy about how his college football Saturday went after A&M pulls off the upset against number one Alabama. How are you going to let your quarterback talk smack to you like that, Marcus?
Man, he threw a slick one in there as I'm getting ready to go in this interview. I didn't even have nothing to say. I just decided to deflect and just say, look, I'm not answering any questions about Texas, Oklahoma.
No questions, please. Next question. All right. So, but were you able to watch it live? Because I know you guys, everybody had problems getting down to Jacksonville on Saturday. So did you get the opportunity to watch the game?
I got to see the first quarter.
Okay.
And then we had to get ready to, you know, obviously for the flight and everything. And obviously I'm on my high horse. It's 28-7 at one point into the first quarter. So I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, this is what I like to see. And obviously it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, but I love the fight, man. I really do. I love what Stark is doing with those guys. It's competitive and just kind of the growing pains of getting in there as a first-year head coach. I'm also excited about Bijan Robinson and Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
260 yards and 2 touchdowns as a freshman. So it's a lot of young talent out there, man. And I'm excited about them Horns, even though we couldn't pull that one out.
Yeah, Xavier Worthy caught the game-tying touchdown pass, 31 yards out from Casey Thompson. It was a lot of fun to watch. You were born, at least, in Oklahoma, right? But you went to the University of Texas. I mean,
I was born there. I'm born and raised in Texas.
Okay.
Born and raised in Texas.
Then I gotta yell at the Titans PR staff because the website needs to be updated. Regardless, let me not take people out. Texas high school football. It's an entirely different environment from anywhere else in the country. I mean, SEC fans here, and Texas will soon be a part of the SEC, they understand what rivalries mean in college football. It's tribal in this part of the country. But just how big a deal is the Red River rivalry in the state of Texas?
Man, it's huge. You know what I mean? Everybody in the city of Austin who remotely keeps up with football is trying to make it out there to Dallas so that they can go out there to the carnival and go see the game. And then when you run out in that stadium, I haven't experienced anything else like it. I mean, half of the stands is nothing but burnt orange, and then you have that weak crimson. Now I can't stand that color. that other side, half and half. But man, the atmosphere is intense. And it, for whatever reason, man, it really is a shootout. You know what I mean? You look at over the last few years, it doesn't matter what the record is for either team, what's on the line, man, they go out there and they compete, and it ends up being a shootout somehow. You know what I mean? Texas going out there dominating, you would think, like most weeks, that a team up 28-7, you just close them out. But it's literally fight the entire game. And I think that's why it has the name that it has.
It's an incredible game to watch every year, no matter where the two teams are in their season at that point. You can always tell that it's got that kind of juice. So let's talk a little bit about your debut, Marcus, because we've enjoyed talking to you since you've been in Tennessee. You've always been incredibly thoughtful and forthright when speaking to the media, and it's very much appreciated. But sir, I remember very, very clearly during training camp when you were performing at such a high level, it was clear what kind of trust Ryan Tannehill has in you and how comfortable you were getting with this offense. And you spoke at the time about, you know, throughout the course of your career in other stops being derailed by soft tissue injuries. Then, of course, you land on IR to start the season. And I really thought it was such a great response by you when we asked you about coming back from that and what that mental space was like for you while on IR, just how at peace you seemed to be with that process after having dealt with it so many different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's football, and it's more importantly, it's training camp, and it happens, man. It is what it is. Just hard. Some things are just hard to avoid. You're going out there every day. You're working 12, 13-hour days. You're on the field. You're grinding it out. I'm well hydrated. I'm eating right. I'm doing the best that I can. We all are, and things like that happen. So for me, I'm thankful that it's soft tissue. You know what I mean? Something that you can bounce back from. You can pinpoint, and you can get back out there on the field sooner than later. So my mindset was just my faith. And my mind is like, hey, this happens for a reason. And my mind is no coincidences. So when I had the injury, I just took it as, okay, this is a time to obviously, as a Christian, stand my word, keep the peace, keep the faith that I have in God and his timing. And then obviously working, man. Frank, Mondre, Brian in the weight room, that entire staff getting me right, step by step, helping me get my conditioning up, stay in shape, stay ready. And it showed out there. Against Jacksonville.
Absolutely. Titans wide receiver Marcus Johnson is our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. Going to get him out of here because I know he's got to get to practice here in just a second. But, I mean, so what makes this offense such a good fit for you, and what makes this quarterback such an easy fit for you to be able to work in with? Because, I mean, I'm sure there were some parts of the game on Sunday that you had to reacclimate yourself to, but it really didn't feel like it missed that much of a beat, Marcus, and that was so cool to see because we've obviously covered it throughout the course of training camp, but fans hadn't yet seen the kind of relationship, the kind of connection that you and the quarterback have.
Man, it's actually just, I can't accredit to anything but God and hard work, man. It's a beautiful thing when you have a chemistry with a quarterback, and I've played with enough quarterbacks to know that it's a element of trust, it's an element of timing, and just time spent together. So I think it helped me coming in last year toward the end of the season. And obviously through OTAs and training camp, it just clicked. For whatever reason, it clicked and it kept building and growing. And like you said, the fans kind of, it was like myth and hype. It was like, okay, we keep hearing about this dude. But when you look back, it's like, okay, we haven't seen anything in the game. So I'm glad that it came full circle with Jacksonville. And it's a long season. You know what I mean? It's one game. It's nothing to get too high, too low on. It's just building that consistency, that repetition, and continuing to take it game by game and show this organization and this fan base what I'm capable of doing and doing it on each and every game day.
It's no small opponent that you guys have coming up where you'll try and build upon that consistency as an offense. Buffalo is scoring more points than anybody in football, and they're allowing fewer points than anybody in football. What is kind of the film study of them been like throughout the course of this week?
It's going to be a challenge for us as receivers, man. You know what I mean? It's a tight-knit group. You know, they've played a lot of games together in that secondary. And they're young. The talent. Well, the safeties are vets, but you look at guys like Tredavian, 27 for them. And then they just paid number 24. He got a nice contract. So they trust their guys. And for us, it's just understanding they're going to come out and they're going to want to play man-to-man coverage. So we got to – every week as a receiver, that's your responsibility, man. Get open. Find ways to get open, make plays for the quarterback. And it's always third down. So that's our mindset. That's what we'll be prepared for. And then obviously it's a lot more that goes into the game planning, but that's kind of the forefront of our minds.
It goes down on Monday Night Football. This upcoming week 6, Titans and the Bills. Marcus Johnson been kind enough to give us some of his time. At Mojo MDJ is where you follow him on Instagram and on Twitter. Marcus, continued health and success, and again, appreciate you you stopping by for a little bit this morning.
No doubt. I appreciate you guys.
Marcus Johnson, Titans wide receiver, kind enough to give us some time before practice today. He is going to be critical for this offense moving forward. And this is kind of the biggest, you know, your biggest hesitancy to trust the Titans is that you haven't seen them put it all together just yet. It doesn't mean that they're not capable. It doesn't mean that they're not still hugely talented. It's just there hasn't been as much evidence as you'd like to see. And to that point, to Marcus's point, you know, he's enjoying success during training camp. He gets derailed yet again by another soft tissue injury. And for him, you know, he's trying to keep himself in the right mindset, as you just heard, about somebody who, listen, we gassed him up. We gaslit the holy hell out of the fan base about Marcus Johnson. And it wasn't undeserved. But there was no proof of concept for fans when the offense got out onto the field. And when you saw him in preseason and you saw a different quarterback out there playing with him, well, you expect him to perform, even if the relationship hasn't been with Logan Woodside, as we talked about, but it's been with Ryan Tannehill. And I think you really saw that materialize on Sunday against the Jags. Again, it didn't look perfect. They won by 18, and they didn't look they didn't look great. They looked fine, right? Pre-snap penalties, not ideal. You could do with a little more of a disciplined performance. You could do with a little more lack of explosive plays allowed, but that's a defensive issue and something that they'll continue to work through. You want more chunk plays out of this offense in the passing game. You want life to get a little easier for Derrick Henry. But you saw where Ryan Tannehill's focus went when A.J. Brown wasn't allowed to be out there on the field for the entirety of the game. Again, 65, just a little north of 65% of the snaps for A.J., and he kept going back to Marcus Johnson. This is something that, as Julio is managed, as A.J. Brown is managed, and really Marcus himself is managed, because you need him down the stretch too. You need all of these guys, of course. But what's clear and obvious to everybody at this point is that the passing game needs to find its footing, needs to find solid ground to stand on, and they just haven't been able to do that yet because of everything that's kind of caused them to be derailed. I mean, you heard Keith Carter, the offensive line coach, well, you didn't hear it, but I did in a commercial break because I'm sitting in a Zoom call while we're in commercial break during the radio show. But Keith Carter talking about, yeah, you know, I think these guys would be a lot more at ease. They would look more cohesive if they just didn't keep getting derailed by injury. You got Aaron Brewer coming in and out of the lineup for Roger Saffold. You got Taylor Lewan, who's missing time here and there, not extended time. And frankly, you know, nobody's talking about this is where the analysis gets skewed, because when Taylor Lewan has three pretty solid games back to back, we don't get people calling in to praise Taylor Lewan. But when the offensive line gives up 20 sacks, well, Taylor Lewan is the face of it, and then he gets buried. I don't say that because Taylor needs defending. I'm just saying that you need to keep, you know, you need to keep an even keel when looking at this and not just let your emotions fly off the handle because you don't like the fact that the left tackle's got a loud personality. I get that. But you see Aaron Brewer, Corey Levin getting extended snaps because they can't stay together as a unit, whether it be center, left guard, left tackle, right tackle has been more stable, to David Quessenberry's credit, but that doesn't mean it's been good, and certainly not good enough. So you're waiting for them to kind of put all this together rather than be a collection of parts. You want to see the cohesive whole. The sum of the parts is the result that you just haven't been able to get a full grasp on. And your silver lining in this, if you're a Titans fan, is that if they're going through this now, then you hope that, one, the quarterback can maintain his health despite getting smacked around an awful lot early on in the season. You hope that Derrick Henry can maintain, because those two have done it. But you hope, if you're somebody who's looking for them to make a push, and really they need to make a push not late in the season, not just in November, but right the hell now, because Bills, Chiefs, at Indy, at Rams, that's a make-or-break stretch, to be cliche, in the world of sports. But it's clear and obvious to everybody that they do have the ability to put this together. And we had a call at the end of the first hour where, forgive me, I think it was Alex in Dixon, was expressing, you know, confidence in the Titans being able to play up to another on paper superior opponent like Buffalo is. And they have had these moments where you have gone to New England, you have beaten Tom Brady, you've gone to Baltimore, you've beaten Lamar Jackson and the top-seeded AFC team at the time. You've beaten the Kansas City Chiefs in the regular season at a time when you're 2-4 and sliding or getting ready to slide right off the edge. It's a very dangerous place or perilous place that the Titans have existed in and have found a way to pull off these games when you least expect them to. But on the other side of things, and maybe this is just the nature of fandom, what was the conversation around the Jets all week long? Oh, this is a trap game, and I hate the term, but you know what I'm saying. Oh, this is just a perfect example of a game that they would slip up in, and ultimately they did. So in the same light that you doubt them when you're playing an inferior team, it's interesting to see fans be like, yeah, the Bills, they're better on offense than anybody. They're better in scoring defense than anybody, but the Titans got this. That's what they do. Is that enough to offset your doubts about Titans teams under Mike Vrabel with this current core as constructed? Because you've seen them do it enough times, and you've also seen them play down to inferior opponents. I mean, really, the only time that and maybe this is just recency bias, maybe, Lucas, if you could give me some context on this, have they really been blown out outside of Arizona? Like, in the Ryan Tannehill era, we'll call it.
Packers.
Okay, Sunday Night Football.
In the snow.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. And that felt like a game. Well, you wanted to win that game, right? That's one of those.
Oh, there's a lot of hype going into that game. The top two offenses in the NFL in prime time.
And two running backs, a snow game in Green Bay. Wasn't that like Christmas weekend? Like
it was. It was very close. I remember because I was driving back. I think it was after Christmas because I was driving back from home leading into kickoff of that game.
They got smacked. Davante Adams got a Courtyard Marriott commercial out of it, and it's just him burning Titans defenders down the field. Cracks me up every time I see that running on NBC.
Yeah, just torching by. That was a Dory Jackson's return.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill had a 45-yard touchdown, and that was just about the only highlight from that game.
So maybe that lacks the long-term view that I thought it might be, because I can't pinpoint blowout losses outside of those two. I think it doesn't happen to them that often. No, it doesn't happen a lot in the NFL. It's built for parity. Mike Vrabel tells you all the time it's an 8-8 league, which is now a lie because there's 17 games and you can't be 8-8 anymore. An 8-9 league?
Yeah, that's the question now.
A 9-8 league? It just doesn't hit the same. It's 17 games, not just because I hate math. Skews a lot of stuff. But for the Titans, this opportunity will be really telling with where they stack up. You're at home. You're a 5.5-point home dog. Now, I don't bet the NFL games because that would be an ethical issue for a Titans reporter. Maybe that makes me sound pompous, but like, I don't like that skewing my analysis. I'll bet everything else. I'll bet baseball, bet college football. Now hockey tonight, Preds opening in Smashville against the Seattle Kraken. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. So Lucas is very excited. He's been peppering me for a Panzeca Preds minute basically for the last 2 weeks. But where you stack up in the AFC is a home dog. And I honestly, if I was to bet the Titans games, and I don't, but I'd think about taking them at 5.5, plus 5.5 in your DraftKings Sportsbook app. Because that was the number I saw this morning, and that kind of surprised me. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. 615-737-1045. B. Bailey on YouTube says, AJ got locked down and Corey Davis was trash. I assume he's talking about the Green Bay game. Yeah, I mean, they couldn't get pressure on Aaron Rodgers. They looked like they were just slipping and sliding out there on defense. In the snow, and then AJ did not have a good game. Jair Alexander did do a great job on Corey Davis. And I can't remember if that was at the point of the season where Corey was dealing with injury, but fans largely don't care about that. 615-737-1045. Bam is in Nashville. He wants to talk about the Titans. What's up, Bam?
Yo, what's good? How you feeling, bud?
We're great, my brother.
Man, we have this thing, the Titans have this thing to where even with the national guys, when they count the Titans out, that's when they wake up all of a sudden. They wake up, you know, they like this Buffalo game last year, they doubted us tremendously. You know what I'm saying? And I think even with the way that they are now, I think this would be the week that the Titans actually wake up. I think this would be the Titans week to where we actually start to see flashes of what we've been expecting from them all offseason. Don't ask me how. I think that they pull it together. They find a way to do this. Just like when Tannehill first got here, we thought the season was over. you know, because of the way stuff was going with Marcus Mariota. He just – they just find a way. It's like it all of a sudden just comes together with them. I hate that, but I think that's just the way this team is built, man. So, you know, I mean, your feedback and opinion on that is always welcome.
Well, thank you. That's, I'm glad to hear that my feedback and opinion is always welcome because I have 3 hours a day for feet – well, more than 3 hours a day. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in. I don't know how Titans fans feel about the way that it's a roller coaster ride. Because I do think, I mean, for me, it gives the season more intrigue. Because I'm not rooting for results. I'm rooting for the best story. What's the best story out of every given game, out of every given week for the Tennessee Titans that week, just as a reporter? And really across the board now that we do the talk show and we have Vols and Preds and NFL at large and whatever the best story is, that's what I'm most interested in. And they make for a great story consistently. 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, then you go 11-5 and you're a division winner, but you're clearly flawed. You're winning a lot of these one score games. Your defense is historically bad, but you find ways to make it interesting. And the result of a year where you're watching the best offense in Titans franchise history, you fall short. And that grows the drama for the coming season because now you're pushing the chips in. Now you think you've got an offense that can absolutely cave people's skulls in. Now you think by adding Julio Jones and retaining most of your offensive talent and you rebuild your defense, I mean basically half of your defense, you're going to go out and try and give this thing another go, and you struggle to start. They've struggled to start. 3-2 is the record. They sit atop their division. Let's not take anything away from them that they've earned. But also, they're clearly a flawed football team. And I think that makes it more interesting. I don't think fans care about interesting. I think fans just want to win. 615-737-1045. Chuck is in Clarksville. He wants to talk about the Titans. What's up, Chuck?
But, hey, you know, when I look at this game, you know, we're 1-2 against them for the last 3 years, but the two losses, one was a drop pass that could have won it, and four field goals missed. So somehow we match up well with Buffalo. So if that's the case, and the way apparently Shane Bowen or him and Vrabel both, they confused the hell out of Josh Allen last year. They're going to have to do it again this year. And then, you know, when our backs are the wall, it seems like we seem to come out and play harder and play better. So that's just my take on this game. I think Titans win, but it's going to be close.
I appreciate the call, Chuck. They did do a good job against Josh Allen last year. It's the last time I've seen Josh Allen look like early Josh Allen before he legitimately made the leap. Now, for the Titans on Sunday, Josh Allen has seen this defense before. He didn't have success against it. In fact, he's one of the few quarterbacks in 2020 that didn't have success against the Titans defense. We'll continue this conversation coming up next. Anthony in Columbia will lead us off. What is your gut feeling about the Titans and the Bills this weekend? 615-737-1045. Don't forget, former Vols quarterback Jonathan Crompton going to join us at 12:20, and we'll pivot to some college football ahead of a big Saturday at Neyland Stadium for Tennessee. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. So what would you say, let's play a little trivia, it's been a minute. If I had to ask you which Titans player was the most effective at converting running plays on third down, who would you say that would be?
Sorry, run plays on third down?
Converting third downs by running the football. Which player on the Titans roster you think is most effective at converting third downs, running the football? Who would you say that is?
Jeremy McNichols.
Incorrect. He's not on this list.
That's the obvious answer, but you even asking that question made me think that was not the answer going in, but I was throwing
Jeremy McNichols?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I think the obvious answer would be the 250-pound skyscraper of a running back.
Right, that's never on the field on third downs.
Which is a good point. So who might that be? Because three of the NFL's most effective, most successful offensive players in third down rushing situations are going to be in this game on Monday night. Ryan Tannehill is the most effective player running the football in the NFL right now on third downs. He converts 83.3% of the third down rushing opportunities that he has. Derrick Henry is fourth with 80%. Josh Allen is sixth on this list. This is courtesy of Titans PR. 75% of the third down conversions that Josh Allen takes off with the football, he gets.
Which makes sense now with McNichols because it's typically a screen in that situation.
It's a good stat. Shout out Titans PR for the supplemental notes. It's going to be a fun game to watch on Monday night. I don't know. This drives me crazy because they're always like this at the start of the season. And my job is to analyze the football team. And the football team is bipolar. It's like Nashville weather. It's insane the way that they shift so dramatically. And I think that drives fans crazy. Maybe it drives Anthony in Columbia crazy, who's been waiting patiently. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Buck.
What's
the
happening?
The Jets game was unforgivable for Mike Vrabel and the whole team. It was bad. And if the Titans don't come out and at least, like, make this Buffalo Bills game close, I think he's going to be on the hot seat. Because with the talent this team has, our window for Super Bowl is within this year and next year. And he just has unbelievable talent with this team. And if he doesn't start getting it together, I think he's going to be on the hot seat.
All right, wait. Hot seat by who? The organization or by fans?
Both.
Okay. 615-737-1045. You're wrong on one count. Mike Vrabel's not going to lose his job. It's just not happening. At the end of this season, I'm not saying that he's going to be the Titans coach to the end of time. And, I mean, they could crater and it go really badly, and I still think Mike would be here. Mike Vrabel would have a job if he would have a job before he told his family that he had been fired in the NFL. Mike Vrabel is a sought-after commodity in football. He is well-regarded, and I understand why you would be frustrated. Listen, the Jets' loss is unforgivable, unless you beat the Bills, unless you beat the Chiefs, unless you win the division again. Are you really going to not forgive the Jets game if you win the AFC South back-to-back? When's the last time the Titans won the AFC South back-to-back? Can you look that up for me, Lucas?
Yeah, that's a great question.
That's what I'm saying. Like, are you kidding me? Now, fans, I love that there is that kind of thought process from Titans fans. Because in what world are you going to turn your nose up at the kind of winning that you've done under Mike Vrabel? I think that's pretty ridiculous. B. Bailey on YouTube says he's not going to be on the hot seat after six games. Hot take Thursday, says Brandon Rushing in the Zone TV chat. I mean, it's pretty funny to see that reaction from Titans fans. Because my first year living in Nashville was that was Marcus Mariota's rookie year. You were the worst team in the sport. You had the number one overall pick. Now you traded away. The Rams get Jared Goff and you get Jack Conklin. But since then, all they've done as an organization is, what was it, 4 straight 9-7s, 11-5, the division, and now this season where your expectations are Super Bowl. It's a pretty quick turnaround. You've seen organizations in professional football languish, in a much different way over a much longer span. But I understand that should be the standard that you hold your football coach to. And what I'll tell you is it was very, very tense in that building across the board after the Titans lost to the Jets. There was a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety happening in that building across the board after they lost to the Jets. They didn't think they were going to lose to the Jets. I was talking to some people yesterday, as a matter of fact, about this, where they said, yeah, it was a really what the bleep moment across the board. So they felt that just as much as you felt that, even if Mike Vrabel's press conferences don't indicate that to you publicly. So Mike Vrabel on the hot seat? No. And if fans want to put him there, that's fine. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, when an organization starts to heed the advice of fans, and I'm not dismissing what he had to say. I'm not dismissing Anthony at all. I think it's pretty, frankly, I'm excited to see that Titans fans care that way. It means that you've started to expect success, and that was not the case 6 years ago. But it's not going to sway unless they go a long stretch and Crater is a football team, even then I don't think Mike Vrabel would be gone at the end of the season. He's not going to get fired in the season, certainly. They're going to find a way, or at least they have in the last 3 years under Mike. They're going to find a way, or they have found ways, to right this ship. And maybe it doesn't come as pleasantly as you would like it to. It's not going to be smooth sailing. Who else but Patriots fans have a pleasant experience during the regular season from week to week? And not even Patriots fans anymore. That was just stabilized.
Yeah, not anymore.
Maybe Buccaneers fans now, because they've got a 44-year-old quarterback throwing for 5 touchdowns, north of 100 QBR.
Yeah, what's the common denominator there?
The one guy. Literally the greatest player in the history of the sport.
Let me answer your question. Titans have never won back-to-back division titles. AFC South, AFC Central. Since they became the Tennessee Titans, they have not done it.
They're on the path to do that right now. You mean to tell me that just because they lost to the Jets, you're not going to forgive Mike Vrabel if he wins the division twice?
For the first time ever?
In the history of the Titans era in the AFC South. Don't be ridiculous. 615-737-1045. Spencer is in Nashville, wants to chime in. What's up, Spencer?
Hey, hope you're doing well. Wanted to call and get your opinion on Corey Davis. You know, we lost Corey Davis, got Julio Jones. Wanted to get your thoughts comparing the two with the season that Corey Davis is having with Zach Wilson in New York, and whether or not this trade has worked out in our favor.
Well, I would say to you that Corey Davis is the only source of offense in the passing game for Zach Wilson, so I'm not measuring them statistically. And TBD?
Yeah, you're 5 games in.
You know, like, I don't know. Julio's played in, what, 3? Of the 5, and really, I mean, I would say 2 of the 5 because he played 2.5. So, I know that's not what you want to hear, and maybe you want a strong opinion or a take from me, but, I mean, they're paying Julio Jones the same amount as the Jets are paying Corey Davis, and they've restructured the deal. I would imagine that the better value for the player at this point, even as he's only played in 3 games, is Julio Jones than Corey Davis.
Who's more likely to win you games in January?
That would be Julio Jones. You see how much worse the Falcons looked? You see how much worse Matt Ryan looks without Julio Jones? Now, it could be that they're both depreciating as assets. But, I mean, I'm not going to make that judgment through 5 games. If you want to, you're more than entitled to. But think about the fact that you're paying them basically the same amount of money. And who would you rather have for the price point? Because Corey didn't do that until he was in a contract year. And even at the end, how pissed were you at Corey Davis? Because he's standing on the sidelines in a playoff loss to the Baltimore Ravens, sitting there with his helmet off. I've lived that experience plenty. And I was a Corey Davis stan. There's no question about that. We'll come back and we'll pivot and talk about the Tennessee Volunteers, former Vols quarterback and Lane Kiffin, former pupil of Lane Kiffin. Jonathan Crompton will join us in the noon hour. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.